Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Actually, episode 99 for the 4th of September of 2010. I am David McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. Josh, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm really surprised at how quick you can go from get the show ready, we're 20 minutes over time-ness, to immediately start the show-ness.
It's called 99 episodes. Sometimes you just got to be ready to go. It's like the show must go on. I was saying just as the music started, I kind of need to pee, but we're here now. Let's go. We are, for those who are watching live, you may have noticed we are 25 minutes behind schedule. So that's going to throw out the entire schedule for the day unless we can quick smart catch up, which won't happen in this show because we actually have a bit to talk about this show because we have two events. But before we go into that, let's explain what this is. This is Tech Actually. This is the official tech podcast of the GeekActually.com podcast network. We do three shows every week. This show, the Film Actually show, which is our film-centric show, and we have our what we refer to as our after show, but it is officially named Geek Actually. But that is basically where we finish the main shows, and we just leave the mics rolling and see what happens. And we have a special guest coming in today, we hope, so assuming they show up. We have a special guest, which is, of course, Josh Spencer, the cartoonist, who is coming in to join us for the after show because we are launching our new cover art today. So that's all very exciting. So if you are watching live, you might want to stick around. And if you're not watching live and you just downloaded this podcast on Tuesday when the after show comes out, make sure you have a listen to that. It should be a lot of fun. And of course, we will have those artworks online as well, so you can see them. They'll also be on the actual podcasts, I guess, so you can think about it that way. Before we get started, Josh, we have some mail.
Yes.
And I thought we'd bring up this mail first off before we get started on anything else, because they're both either correcting or adding to conversations that we've already had on this show. So let's start with the adding, okay? And this is from our listener, Tristan, who basically says, "Hey guys, Hey guys, I just listened to the podcast of Tech Actually and heard you mention about a company being sued for the device they called Jedi." I'm all turned around here. Being sued for the device they called Jedi Mind. And for those who don't remember Jedi Mind, I actually left the picture on the board. This is the Jedi Mind. Okay. Now it's a head device that basically says that you control games and so forth with. And George Lucas is suing them, saying you can't use the name Jedi. All right, we said, according to his letter, he says, "You didn't believe they had created devices that can use your mind to control anything. I watched a show called Prototype this last year, and they actually made an interface where they use their minds to control remote-controlled cars to stop when you become too aggressive. They demonstrated that you can bend spoons using the device by hooking it up to a computer-controlled actuator and feeding their thoughts wirelessly through the transmitter that was attached to their heads. I don't know how much further in development this kind of technology is, but they were playing games using the same kind of device too. I can see it coming out onto the market soon, but it probably still is under development for full-on games. The technology is there, though, and has been around for quite a while." And he sent a link to that whole prototype link, that story, which we will put in the show notes. And I want to say, Tristan, thank you very much. There was a bit of a misunderstanding. I don't think we didn't believe that they didn't have mind control. We've actually seen prototypes and stuff of people using brainwaves.
Do you remember, I wouldn't know if it came out here, there was a show called Beyond 2000.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch Beyond 2000 all the time.
Now, dude, back in those days, they were playing with the technology of this. So there's not a part of me that doesn't believe.
Yeah, the whole idea. I mean, they've now got. There's also. I was watching, I think it was Catalyst or something on TV the other day, and they were actually talking about this new technique where they can help with therapy by basically mind reading. They put the scanner on your head, and it can actually pull images from your mind, which they can then interpret into other things. So the brain is an amazing thing. It's just in a giant electrical circuit. The idea is learning how to tap into it. It's not that we didn't believe that this device could work. I don't believe the device works very well.
No, it doesn't.
And that's the trick.
Any technology, any of these things that I've seen with people, sort of organizing themselves into kind of a demonstration, it works, but there's a lot of lapsing in the control between the device and the unit itself.
Yeah, Numero Zero, the chat room just flew past really quickly. He brought up something really interesting. Numero Zero says, "You realize, of course, that the goal of the entire human race is and always has been to gain the ability to bend spoons with your mind. Well said, Numero. So this is just a reminder at this point, I guess, would be to say that if you want to join us live every Saturday at 12 p.m., you can join our chat room and put in nice incisive comments like that.
Yes.
Anytime you want to, and we will read the fun ones out. Okay, now, the other piece of email that we got. So, Tristan, thank you very much. And just a reminder that if you do want to send us email at any time, you can send it to geektech@geekactually.com. And if it is interesting, or you have a correction for us, or you want to abuse us, by all means, send your email to us. And you can also send us just
try to keep the abusing to a minimum, though.
I don't know. As long as it's on track, I guess. You can also voicemail us at 02-801-13167. That is a Sydney number. And if it's really interesting, we'll play you on the show. All right. So, and it does work. I tested the voicemail line. You know, you realize we've only ever had one voicemail in the entire time we've had a voicemail line. Guys. That was from Brad.
Brad.
Cole. Actually, well, no, and Dave used it a couple of times, too. But all right. The other email we had is from Delta Knight. Now, Delta Knight is in our chat room right now, Delta. Delta Knight says, hey, guys, I found another sign that we are all doomed by a tech apocalypse.
Ooh, goody.
And he has sent us a link. Now, the link is for an article I have right here. It is a DARPA project, which is the military, called PAL. P-A-L. Now, that in its very essence terrifies the hell out of me, Josh. I don't want my computer to be my pal. I'm sorry. But basically, the PAL project is the idea of a series of networked computers. Now, bear with me here, and I'm sure Delta Knight was right on the ball with this one. Bear with me here.
I'm waiting.
Of networked military computers that are controlling basically the military grid that learn. So from your actions,
right.
they establish a series of connections so that they can actually know how things are working. And so when you put in a command, it can then help you out with your decision making. Now, the PAL project has five main goals. Are you ready? One, enable machines to learn and improve their basic functionality through the accumulation of experience and not through being explicitly programmed. Two, can represent purpose/goals, system structure, and behavior in order to allow a computational system to reflect on its own capabilities and performance. That sounds a little bit like self-awareness to me. And number three, allow the software to be instructed and guided using natural human-oriented communications, e.g. natural language, pictures, gestures. Number four, have the ability of the software to use a visual and auditory sensors to understand the user's situation. Who is in the meeting? Who is speaking? Basically, knowing the people personally. And number five, are integrated and result in fully functioning systems. Now, there is a video attached to all of this, and I actually have a little bit of that video. Now, it's really poor quality. It's the best quality I could find on YouTube, unfortunately. And it is really dorky because it is a simulation. It's not the actual thing going. So it's a bunch of people acting like they're in war games or something. Okay. Yeah. But it gives you an idea of what it is they're trying to achieve. So have a look at this. This is this was actually made by the military. So this is made by DARPA to demonstrate what they're planning.
Okay.
Over the past 3 years, we've been training our PALs to monitor, retrieve, and display component planning and execution information to include the current ATO and ACO. PALs organizing it the way the boss wants to see it.
Lots of yellow halos.
Mm-hmm.
Do the halos mean that PAL is working in all of those applications?
Yes. We've integrated PAL throughout the command center. PAL knows the battle rhythm. It'll keep you up to date.
Good morning, Major Reeves. I have available
spooky female computer voice.
Yeah, they should have got the chick from
Battlestar? No.
Display the current battle rhythm. These are my priorities. I'm attending this meeting. Set up my briefing prep package for guidance given to these other PALs. Learn commander's priorities from every meeting I attend.
Here are the materials you need for the meeting.
Present shift change read ahead per usual preferences. Highlight key events and new guidance from the JTF commander over the past 24 hours.
Priority overview. Seven C-17s have landed at Fernando over the last 10 hours.
I see the boss is concerned about terrorist activity in Mindanao.
Yes, especially concerning threats to LNG facilities. Requested a briefing at the next update.
Give me an hourly report on LNG tanker movement within the vicinity of the Philippines.
Okay, we're going to leave it there because it goes on. It's about a 4.5 minute video, and we're going to leave
Dave,
it there.
In your exact words, what could possibly
What go could wrong? Possibly go wrong? Now, I believe at coffee this morning, Josh, we had a discussion about this. Because after telling you about this, I said, now, what if we integrated PAL with the killer tactical robots that we talked about in a previous episode? So now, I mean, and you know what? The tactical robots that we discussed in the previous episode don't even need to think, because PAL can control them, right?
Yeah.
And I got to say, there is shades of Eagle Eye in all of this.
Ooh.
You know, it's like,
it has control over a lot of stuff. It has access to military secrets all over the place.
Yeah, look, I find the entire thing a little bit terrifying myself. Especially when you start integrating this sort of virtual intelligence into military application. I have one word. Skynet.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of. Okay, let's move on. That's our feedback. As I said, you can send stuff to geektech@geekactually.com, and we will read your stuff out. Thank you very much, Delta Knight. Thank you very much, Tristan. Those were both very entertaining stories, we will try and be more factual in future for you, Tristan. Okay, we'll try and make our opinions clearer. Okay, this week, what happened this week, Josh? What are the two semi-major events this week?
Well, we would have had Job Note.
Steve Note!
I prefer Job Note.
Job
right,
Note, okay. Well, he is a bit of a job, yeah, but anyway.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go there. I was just going to leave that open like that. But
now,
right.
We have to also specify that this particular Steve Note isn't really a Steve Note because it wasn't a keynote to an event. It was just an announcement.
I'm sorry, but this one has a lot of stuff in it that I think almost deserves it to be
Well,
a
this
Steve
is
Note.
True. And the September announcement is always music related. It's always iPod related. Mm. And he didn't disappoint this year. He did release new iPods. But he also did some other stuff, which is the stuff that I really want to talk about, which is things like updates to iOS 4 and I think we really should probably talk about Ping, which is their new social network, which is kind of
we'll talk about that
a
right.
dumb idea, but anyway, and we also will talk about this new Apple TV that they've released, because I wasn't sold on the new Apple TV at all until he showed one feature, and we'll talk about what that feature is in just a minute. But we also have to counter the Apple news, because I know we seem a bit Apple centric sometimes. They do tend to suck the oxygen out of the room when they make an announcement.
Oh yeah.
Josh went to an event.
Yes, I did.
So tell us a little bit about your event. Not in detail, because we'll come back to it. Mm. What we'll do is we will antidote the Steve Note with the other side of it. But just what was the event you went to?
I went to what's called the Microsoft Open House. They do it apparently once every year. And basically what it is Microsoft basically pack up a portable house and drag it around to different places, explaining how Windows or Microsoft connects an entire household together. The presentation goes through both gaming, which is obviously why I was there, and then into technology as well. So we will have a bit of a talk about the entire event and also talk about some of the interesting returns that they brought with them that I thought had basically been scrapped, and I think so do you.
Yeah, well, one of them in particular that we will talk about, that I think was like one of their main events, you sit there and go, really? Hasn't this been released yet? We'll come back to that, though. All right, let's talk Steve Note to start this off. I do have a little bit of video on a couple of the bits and pieces, but I think first thing we're going to do is just touch on very briefly what they did announce. First of all, they announced the new lineup of iPods. Now, what I thought was very interesting straight off the bat was the fact that they said that they're updating all the iPods. Every iPod is being revamped. Yet, they didn't mention the iPod Classic at all.
Oh, no.
But it's still on sale. So they didn't update all the iPods because they didn't touch the iPod Classic, all right?
You know what it is, Dave? It's he expects whoever has that device isn't connected to any network, so therefore they're not going to read it, so therefore they're not going to know.
Because it's a classic. All right, so but they did revamp the iPod Shuffle, which I think is the most amusing of the lot, because the iPod Shuffle basically went from the little box with the little dial on the front with the controls and the clip on the back to last year's model, which was the one that looked like a piece of chewing gum, you know, had no buttons on it and it was all voice controlled. And now the new model is a little square box with a clip on the back and buttons on the front.
we'll get back to that.
So they've actually come right full circle back to that design because that was their most popular shuffle and people didn't like the sticker gum model. but what they've done is they've taken all the new innovations that the sticker gum model had, which were things like voice control and voice playback of playlists and so forth, and they've integrated all that into the older model iPod. So the shuffle is actually quite cute, and for its price point, for going to the gym
I haven't had time to watch this, so I'm actually very excited.
I don't have video of the shuffle because it was pretty much stock standard. But what I do have what I do have video of though, thought I would play is this is a little bit. Now it went on for quite a long time, so we don't want to play the whole thing. But this is just a little sampling of Steve Note. This is when he talked about what the new Nano was going to be. Now the Nano, Just watch and you tell me. All right? Here we go.
So I've got one right here. And this is an iPod Nano. Let me flip some of the screens here. Well, first of all, I can go right into music.
Look how small that damn thing is.
And go just right through like this. And let me go to E.
Yes, your eyes are not deceiving you. The new Nano has multi-touch.
And I could just play a song. And again, here's the controls. I go to the next song, previous song. There's Genius and Shuffle. Repeat.
Oh, come on. It is really kind of cool, though.
It's cool, but it's so small. I mean, your fingertip is almost as big as the screen.
No, your finger is. Dude, and Nanos are built for, people that don't want to carry around a lot of stuff.
Look how tiny this thing is. It is literally... All right, this is almost over.
It's very, very easy to navigate around.
It has one really nice feature.
Let me show you some of the other screens here. So we've got, again, radio, podcasts, and photos. All the different ways of listening to music and...
Yeah, all right. So basically this thing is just a little bit bigger than the shuffle, just as thin. It actually has a clip on the back, just like the shuffle now, so you can just clip it on. It's got a little tiny 1.5-inch, I think, multi-touch screen, and it runs iOS software. And it literally is so small they can only fit 4 icons on the screen at a time. This thing is tiny. But the one thing that I really did like about it was that if you're wearing it, because it is designed to be clipped on, if you're wearing it and it's upside down, you do a two-finger gesture on it where you put 2 fingers on the screen, and you can actually flip the screen upside down. So you can actually rotate the screen in 4 axes. So that's kind of cool. I kind of like that.
I think the whole thing.
I wish
really
that was on my iPhone, because my iPhone often sits like on the table. I'd like to just be able to rotate the screen. But you know, it's cute. It is cheap. It is fast. It comes in the same sort of 8 and 16 gig models. And this is why I couldn't get it. 16 gig in that tiny, tiny little frickin' thing, you know?
That's awesome.
So those who are looking for the high-def video that the Nano used to have on it, it's gone. They've taken the camera off, obviously, because they've put this new screen on and it's tiny. The reason it is that big is because apparently their market survey said that the biggest thing that Nano users wanted, was smaller. Smaller, smaller, smaller. And so, as he said, the only way to make the Nano smaller was to get rid of the click wheel. And the only way to get rid of the click wheel is to make it a touch screen. Because if you're going to have a screen, you have to be able to navigate it somehow. And so they made it a touch screen. So, and that's why the Nano looks that way. Now, the other piece of news, the other iPod announcement that came out, of course, was the iPod Touch. Now, the iPod Touch was a really nice update. The iPod Touch actually put a high-def camera on the back of it.
Do we have a picture?
I don't have video of this. I didn't grab video of the iPod Touch because it looks pretty much the same. It's a bit thinner. It is a bit thinner. It has a front-facing camera. It has FaceTime, iOS 4. But some of the statistics that came out about this I thought were really interesting. One of them was that the Nano has now actually become much more than just a music player, obviously. It is now, according to statistics, iOS 4 devices, now that means iPad, iPod Touch, and iPhone, now outnumber other portable gaming devices. In fact, they outnumber Sony and Nintendo's portable gaming devices combined, which is a staggering statistic when you consider it was a music player. iOS has come a long way. What are your thoughts? You're the gamer here.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, yes, I agree. Look, dude, I own one, and you know that I do play games on it, so I'm not trying to defeat it when I put it like this. But in some ways, by them saying that, it's a bit like Sony's whole strategy of showing how amazing the PS3 is by comparing stats for the PS3 sales to toaster sales in West Africa. It's like, if you say that everyone that has a phone plays games on your device, yeah, I'm sure it sounds really, really, really intense and it sounds mind-boggling. But the honest truth is, a lot of people I know don't have games. Or if they do, it's Angry Birds.
Their statistics actually went further, though, because they actually had numbers. I don't have them here, but their actual numbers, he actually listed the number of games downloaded on iPod Touches alone, because it would be off the App Store, the statistics coming off the on the game device itself. And it was a really high number. So there's a lot of people out there who are playing games on just the Touch.
Yes, but how many of those people have activated accounts, and how many of the people that use iPod Touches just use it as a music device synced to their computer?
Well, there's
Dude, a lot of people that walk through that store that will come in and talk to me that may be buying a second one for their child or whatever, they don't even know what the App Store is. They have no interest in it. They're like, it just does music and I can run video on it. It's like, yes, the technology's there. It's just, I love how they immediately are like, well, obviously everyone plays games on it. It's like, yeah, you'd be surprised, dude.
Yeah, well, there is that. Now, this is going to be odd for our audio listeners, but I'm just going to throw this out there really quickly because our chat room seems to be way behind on us. So I'm just going to throw out a quick question, and I need an answer as fast as possible by some member of the chat room. So we're going to say, are you interested in the new iPod Touch? What we're doing here is we're just waiting to see lag time on the chat room.
We have quite a serious lag time.
There is quite a serious lag happening here, I think. The first one or the second? This movie called The Terminator. They're still talking about Skynet, man. That chat room's way behind. We'll have to see if we can fix that lag up before we go into our next show. But anyway, we'll keep going for the moment. Hopefully the lag will catch up. Now, the updates to... So that was basically the lineup of the iPod Touches. All right, iPods in general. Now, he also talked about the update to iOS 4. Now, this is something that affects everybody who is on an iPhone, iPod Touch, or iPad. Mm-hmm. Now, the iOS 4 is adding a couple of really, really interesting features. Mm. First thing that they're adding is what's called HDR photos. Now, for those who are into photography, HDR is not new. And you're going to sit there and say, wow, that's a nice feature. Those who don't know anything about photography at all, what HDR is, it stands for high dynamic range. Our eyes have high dynamic range. We can actually make out many different exposures simultaneously. Cameras can't. Cameras pinpoint an area of exposure and you expose for that, which means other areas are going to be underexposed, other areas are going to be overexposed. Mm-hmm. Now, little handheld cameras in particular suffer from this even more because their lenses just aren't very...
That's why in a lot of old cameras you get very, very crappy photos and bad lighting.
That's right. And you often get like bleach white skies and stuff like that. Mm. High dynamic range is a concept where you actually take several photographs at different exposure levels and combine them to piece together or tone map an image so that you actually get different ranges of color and different ranges of exposure across a photo, giving really lush photographs. Now, in the old days, and when I say old days, I mean 12 months ago, things move fast in tech. We were all doing this with software. We'd go out and we'd do what's called bracketing a photograph, where you take a photograph and you have the camera automatically bracket 8 photos or 6 photos or 3 photos, where it takes one overexposed, one underexposed, one in the middle, and then you can make your choice as to which one you want. Mm. Well, with bracketing photos, you could also take those into software and combine them into a high dynamic range photo. Very nice. Some point and shoot cameras started to build this in and started to say, what if we actually built high dynamic range in? iOS 4 has now applied high dynamic range to all of its models across the board. So this is a little demo of high dynamic range that he actually showed. This is just a series of photographs he was showing how things would look. And I got to tell you, this is actually the feature I am most excited about on this phone because I love my camera. I'm a photographer. And so I look at this and I go, I can actually see use for this.
What are high dynamic range photos? Well, when we take a photo, a lot of times we get it where it's blown out with light. You see it washed out with this bright light coming in over the building there. Well, when you turn on HDR just by tapping on that button there, when you take a photo, it actually takes 3 photos in rapid succession. It takes one normal exposure, what it thinks is the appropriate exposure, and then one that's underexposed and one that's overexposed. And it combines these 3 with some pretty sophisticated algorithms to produce an HDR photo.
That's so good.
And it's pretty amazing.
That's a big difference.
the normal photo and the HDR photo.
Why would you ever turn it off?
The Photos app. So you can just compare the two of them and use the one you like.
I like the fact that you get the choice of having both.
But it's really remarkable in some photos. And let me show you a few other examples. Here's another one where you can see how HDR has pulled out the sky and pulled out the detail in the foreground. Here's another one where you can see it's trying to pull out the shadow in the background. You can see her legs pulling them out of the shadows as well. Take a look at this one. You can't even see the pavement, the one on the left. And look at how it's pulled all that out from the one on the right. And one final one again, you can see the sky and a lot more detail in the background.
Even the
using
colors.
HDR.
Yeah, the colors are more vibrant because
so
the foreground
photos,
is getting a different exposure
great.
As well.
And
so.
It's built into iOS 4.1.
I'm really looking forward to that feature. Now, for those who want iOS 4.1, it's released next week. All right, so if you're an iPhone user, the other thing that 4.1 is supposed to do, and this is a big plus, a big feather in the cap, if it works, Josh is going to test this for us. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to improve performance on the original 3G phone.
Fucking well better.
So on the original 3G phone, it's supposed to improve performance because as anybody who is on a normal 3G knows, it literally killed the performance of the 3G in one fell swoop. So that's the Apple announcement. Now, the other thing I wanted to just mention very quickly, two last things, and then we're going to move on to Josh's Microsoft, is there's a new iTunes 10. iTunes 10 includes a new social network called Ping. Now, the whole concept of Ping, I'm not going to go into great detail on it because if you watch the video, now this keynote video is available as a podcast. If you look for Steve Jobs keynotes on iTunes, you can actually find it. You can pull it down yourself and have a look. It's probably embedded on the Apple site somewhere too if you have a look there. But what Ping basically is a social network. You sign up for it. I signed up for it the other day just to have a look at it. And basically it gives you kind of like a Twitter type feed and allows you to make connections with other people who use iTunes. And so if they buy something, you can see it on their feed that they've bought something, and then you have the opportunity to buy it yourself. Or if somebody's going to a concert, you can see what they're going to a concert. You can see what sort of music they're listening to, etc., etc., etc. The whole idea is really to sell more music. Let's face it. Somebody, let's say Josh and I are friends and Josh buys a new album and I see it on his feed. I go, oh, that sounds interesting. And right there on the feed, it has the option to buy the music. Oh, you don't even have to go back to the iTunes store. So it's right there, all built into iTunes 10. I've actually been using iTunes 10 now for a couple of days since the announcement. And I got to say that as a Mac user, I don't have the same Windows problem. So let's make that very clear. Windows, I'm sure it runs like a dog, okay, because all iTunes have. On a Mac, though, I got to say even iTunes 10 is a bit sluggish.
Yeah.
I think they've added too much into this piece of software. Even on a Mac, it's starting to feel a little bit bogged down now. I really wish they would streamline it or at least make some kind of web interface for it. I think a web interface for iTunes would be the ultimate goal here because that would take some of the pressure off the app. Mm. But that's me. That's my personal opinion. Also with the iTunes 10, they also announced that they're planning on the new Apple TV, which is a little tiny, one-fourth the size Apple TV. Mm-hmm. The reason why it's so small is it has no hard drive anymore. And he actually goes through the very pains, and I won't go through the whole thing, but he goes through pains of saying, in market research, the things that they actually asked questions about, because as I say, Apple TV for them is a hobby. It's not one of their major products. And so they're trying to develop the best desktop, best set-top device, basically. Mm-hmm. And the things that came back were they wanted it cheaper, they wanted it cool and silent and small, they wanted no storage, they didn't want disk management. They didn't want, basically what most consumers, and he actually said that he went to pains to state this, he said, what tech people don't understand is that the average consumer doesn't want to have to worry about syncing, disk management, blah, blah, blah. They don't want a computer at their television. They just want something that plays their movies. Mm. And I guess I can understand that. From my point of view, I go, no, I want storage and I want this and I want, but I'm a tech guy. So I don't quite understand that their needs. It does have, for the American listeners, it does actually have Netflix Watch Instantly built right into it now, which is absolutely brilliant. So you can just log into Netflix and just download anything you want if you are a member of Netflix. All sales of movies and television is gone. On the Apple TV, you can only rent. So the idea is it doesn't need storage because you just click on it, rent it, watch it, it's gone, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all streaming, basically. But there, and I was watching this whole demonstration of the Apple TV going, yeah, I don't really care. Until he showed the killer feature. And the killer feature for me was it integrates, because it's now running iOS, is the operating system on the device, it integrates with your iPad and iPhones and iPod touches. So if you've bought a movie and you're watching the movie on your iPad, there is now a button next to the volume control that as you walk into your living room, you push that button and it just throws the video onto your plasma screen.
Okay, that is kind of cool.
And it just streams it straight off your iPad and streams it straight onto the big screen. And I went, hooly dooly, that's the feature I want. All right, and I just thought, now, what the big question that he didn't...
Hooly dooly?
Hooly dooly. All right, now, the big question he didn't answer... And if anybody has an answer to this, and I can't even throw this to the chat room because they're only starting to answer my question now. So I think the lag has got to be at least 10 minutes at this point. But lag is on their end then. It says, yeah, it could be. I got to find out. And in between shows, I'll go out and find out what the hell's dragging network down here. But anyway, mm-hmm. The point is that I do apologize to the chat room. We will correct this for the next show. We do go all day long. What was I? I've lost my train of thought now.
You were talking about the Apple awesomeness TV. Of Apple TV?
Yeah, there was the awesomeness of Apple TV. Oh, the question that he never answered. If anybody has an answer to this, and send your email to geektech@geekactually.com or send it to our voicemail line, or if you're in our chat room, please drop it in there. We'll get it eventually. What happens to current Apple TV users? Is there going to be a software update that actually changes the existing Apple TVs into this new type of miniature Apple TV with the streaming, or do we continue on as normal? Is there now going to be two different OSs for Apple TV? He never actually addressed the existing Apple TVs that were out there. So I'd be very curious to know if anybody knows how that would affect. Sorry, I just realized that the chat room was scrolled right to the top of the screen. It didn't auto-scroll. It normally auto-scrolls down and follows along with it. We're going to try that lag test again now at this point.
Yay for new setups.
Yay for new setups. And also this rinky-dink little chat room. All right. Nice one. Ah, see, they've already answered me. So their lag isn't as bad as we thought. Okay. I apologize, guys. I apologize. Does anybody have an answer to the Apple TV issue? Somebody's put a link up. I can't click on links in the middle of the show, so explain it. And Callisus says they said it earlier. Do you really want me to start scrolling through again? I'm going to lose you guys again. All right. We're going to move away from... No, we're not going to move. We have one more video. We have one more video here, and then we're going to move away. This is the part where we get Josh involved in this, because Josh is sitting on the other side of the table going, ah, fucking Apple users. Josh!
I do not know what you're talking about.
Game Central.
Yes.
iOS 4.1 is introducing Game Central, which is basically, for lack of a better term, Xbox Live for iOS devices. Mm. Achievements, rankings, online game, you can invite people to play, and all this sort of stuff. What are your thoughts on Apple's Game Central?
I think, surprising as it may be, I think that it looks perfectly fine. It looks like a capable system that will bring the gaming to a great sort of new level. And the one thing I am a little bit worried about is how angry all those people that have created their own little networks, like freaking, what is it, Faint or whatever
Open
it is.
Faint, Plus. Yeah.
All those are going to get demolished and no one will care anymore. But the idea's been building for ages. We talked about this quite a while ago.
It's a good question, though. Things like, let's say Plus. Yeah. I play a game called Wii Rule, right? Yeah. And a lot of people do. It's kind of like the Farmville of iPhones, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a Plus game and it's all linked in and got friends on the Plus network. Now, will they take that and move that into Game Central, or do you think Plus will keep its own little microcosm going to keep that going?
I think either are a possibility. If OpenFaint was smart, I would say that they should jump on board because it won't work the other way around.
Mm. By the way,
incorporate.
We have an answer to that Apple TV question. Raggy has said in our question, it says...
There's an upgrade for...
No. Back a little bit later on. Where is it? Somebody actually said there'd be no update for the existing Apple TVs. I think they're keeping it the same. Oh, I've lost it now. Oh, here it is. Jay Raggy says, Apple says no software updates for original Apple TV. Mm. There is an upgrade for Apple TV versus original Apple TV, but a big no. There'll be no software update to bring the new features to older Apple TVs. Older Apple TV will continue to work as they have been working up to this point, and they will continue to be able to purchase movies and TV shows even though the new Apple TV is rental only. There you go. Answer the question. So, the Apple TV, all of us existing Apple TV users, we still get to be able to buy stuff. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you, J. Raggy. All right, so back to Game Central. So this is now the demo that they did for Game Central was, of course, Epic. Now, this brings us to this game that is coming out that Josh was playing just before we started. Yeah. And this is actually Epic taking the stage. Now, to demonstrate Game Central, they actually wheeled out the Epic guys and showed what it was like playing head-to-head with mm-hmm. each other on this new game. I didn't get all the Game Central stuff because basically if we're all Xbox users anyway, we know what Game Central is you know, and all sorts of stuff. But this game... was the thing. Oh, now, yes. Epic is with the Unreal Engine 3, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Unreal Engine mm-hmm. 3. They produced Gears of War. Yes. And they basically came out on stage and said that this is their first iOS game. They have actually ported Unreal 3 to iOS. And this is their demonstration.
Good morning, everyone. I'm really thrilled to be here to reveal our very first project at Epic for Apple mobile devices. It's powered by our award-winning Unreal Engine 3 game technology, which has powered countless hits for console and, of course, our Gears of War series. To demonstrate, I want you to meet Donald Mustard, our creative director. Donald?
Hi, everyone. Today, we're introducing a new game currently in development. It's codenamed Project Sword.
So Project Sword is a gorgeous...
Wow. As we know now, it's called Citadel.
And it's filled with epic sword battles.
Now, everything that you're seeing is running in real time. This isn't a movie, and I'm controlling everything you're seeing right now. I'm in the Citadel, a vast environment filled with enemies, treasure, and the weapons that I'll need to take down the legendary God King.
So if your jaw is not on the floor, it should be. Take a look at this place, right? This is a gorgeous 3D world, and it's filled with intricate levels of detail that you just don't expect to see on a phone device. Plus, now we've got Game Center, so we have dozens of unique achievements.
All right, here we go with Game Center.
We've got worldwide leaderboards, so you can compete with your friends, and it's really easy to find someone online to play with, and I'm going to show you.
And honestly, with Game Center, it's just as easy as that. Mike's going to send me an invite, and I can accept it. Now, as a designer, what's awesome about Game Center is that all the social integration is done for us.
Here's the fighting.
So I'll be playing this massive, brutish titan here, and Donald's going to be playing this wimpy little knight. You can see the character detail is amazing. We're using the same lighting and motion-captured animation techniques you see in top CG films.
Now, our multiplayer uses two unique control interfaces, allowing for more hardcore gamers to be matched up with more casual players. My attacks happen just like you'd think, by swiping directionally across the screen.
So my interface is a little less caffeine-powered. I'm just dragging different moves onto the screen, for example. Here I'm going to drag, how to open my boot, say, onto your face. Oh.
Right, lucky hit.
Oh, that's so good.
So, all right, so that's the new game. And if you go to iTunes right now, well, not right now, but after we finish the show.
You can go right now, just don't turn off this.
Yeah, don't turn off this. Go to iTunes, you can actually look for it. It's called Epic Citadel. It is free at the moment. Just to be aware that there's no, that fighting scene that you saw, we haven't discovered yet. At the moment, it looks like a tech demo, but you do get to walk around this amazing world that they have generated. Now, on an iPad, it's a little bit rough around the edges, and we thought, oh, yeah, it's okay, it's pretty good, and so forth, and then Josh fired it up on the iPhone 4. Mm. And on the iPhone 4, it is smooth as silk, and the Retina display is gorgeous, and it's just...
I have one question, though, which I think needs to be addressed.
Whether or not
now or later, considering the amount of effort put in by Epic to create this engine, are we still going to have a price tag of like $12, $14? Because is this the start of the expensive apps?
Well, we've already had the start of the expensive apps. So if you buy a copy of X-Plane, it's $16.99.
Yeah, no, like $16.99 is not expensive.
That's I'm talking about
more expensive games. Well, like, I mean, from what they're showing, that's a very basic game, right? Hmm. Like, I mean, it looks like, to be honest, as a gamer, if I was reviewing that, I would say that game looks like a really, really average version of Tekken.
Unless what we're seeing is just the fight mechanic and it is actually an RPG. And there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I mean, they can expand it out if you want, but even that combat there, like, there's only a certain amount you can add to it. If you remove the ability to move in a fight, apart from left and right, you remove a whole section of ability out of the game.
Well, you just say there's two fight modes. There's a simplified fight mode and a more geeky fight mode.
Yeah, so, look, I mean, and that's fine. And
but
I'm
my question is, if you're fighting, if you've got two people playing and one's on the more experienced fight mode and one's on the simplified fight mode, there's a definite imbalance to that game.
No, but exactly. And look, I mean, I actually have no problem with that, man, because like it said, even if you were facing somebody more difficult or hard, right? If you're not using the controls and you're just getting used to it, you shouldn't be in that fight. It's the whole concept of an RPG, which is what leads me to believe it probably is an RPG, because the whole concept of online RPGs is you don't walk up to the level 50 and strike him in the back because he will decimate you with one punch. The whole concept of it is that you use that until you get good enough to use the other one.
Yeah.
When it gets too hard to use the easy one. So there's a high possibility this could be a really good RPG if they play it right, but that, again, leads me to worry what's behind this game. Like, how much money are we going to be paying? Is this going to be a $20 game? Is this going to be a $30 game? Like, I mean,
I haven't seen a game. Now, there are niche apps. Somebody has pointed out in the chat room that there are niche apps. This is not a niche app. This is a game.
Go.
And there are niche apps that are up to $100 in the chat. Absolutely.
But how many games?
But games, look, I would not pay for an iPhone game. I'm not going to be paying more than about $13 or $14.
Now, it's interesting you say that, Dave, because you're saying that there's no games out there that are really over that price tag.
No, I said I wouldn't pay any more than that.
No, well, there's very few that are, man. Yeah. Like, I think $16.99, like you said, is probably the most expensive.
And iPad, yes, the games are more expensive on iPad. Let's be fair.
Yeah, exactly. But
which I don't understand, because some of the games actually play better on iPhone. Never mind.
But let me ask you a question. How many of those games that you've played so far have had a ground-up engine built around them?
That's true.
Exactly, which is where I start to get worried, because I go...
Or do you think Epic might be banking on the idea that if they can make the Unreal 3 engine work...
Everybody under the sun is going to license it. Come on, man. They may as well rename that engine into Toolkit Plus.
Yes.
Like, I mean, that's basically what it is. It's like, we make an engine and sell it to everyone.
Numero Zero says I would pay serious money for shiny stuff, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Shiny, I'm assuming he's talking about the game company. Shiny's produced some real... I would love to see MDK.
Yeah, that company can go die in a hole as far
as... Oh, come on. MDK was so much fun in its day.
So was Earthworm Jim. The problem is that after they were finished with it, they couldn't make another successful game.
Well, all right. All right, fair enough. Do you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see some decent EDOS stuff come. I would love to see Tomb Raider brought over to the iPhone. The original Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider Anniversary.
Tomb Raider. I was about to say, have you played the original one recently, Dave?
Yeah, well, you got to play Anniversary, because they've updated the graphics engine.
I know.
Tomb Raider Anniversary was a lot of fun. I think, do you know what would be a really good iPad game? Is the new Lara Croft Guardians of Light. That would make an awesome iPad game.
We'll see.
Because it's an awesome Xbox game. Anyway, Josh, tell us about Microsoft. In fact, look, before you tell people about Microsoft, I think I need to introduce... this by saying Josh had a great time at the Microsoft convention, as demonstrate.
Oh, you bastard. You couldn't fucking help it, could you?
I couldn't. You were having so much fun.
What people are seeing on screen, if anybody's, sort of getting past the idea of laughing repetitively, is you are seeing Kinect in action. And come on, I had to give it exactly what it deserved.
Numero Zero says you have great dance moves.
Goddamn right. I'm quite impressed with myself. For the record, I did get, I think it was 89% on the song, so
fuck you guys, well done.
To anybody that's going to laugh at me.
So in other words, you played Kinect. Was it fun?
It's more than fun, and this is something that I'm definitely going to put out there to everyone, is that anyone that's standing there right now and going... It's just, sort of Microsoft's way of bringing Nintendo to the thing. No, fuck off. I'm sorry. Dave, I'm actually serious about this. Wipe that thought out of your minds.
Oh, I never had that thought.
Exactly.
I want Kinect.
Yeah, look, understand that this technology is greater than anything you have ever played with, right? Now, the first games that come out are exactly what you would expect out of technology like this. They are to show people what
it can do.
Exactly. To get people used to it. Games like, you know, Kinect Adventure and what's the other one that they've got? Kinect Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. Number one, they are capitalizing on the amazingly giant market that is the Wii gamer, right?
Yep.
Then there is the other people that are not going to be able to pick up a controller, and basically when they go, all right, and now there's two dudes coming at you and you're going to fight both of them at the same time. People are not going to be able to handle that. They're going to be like, well, what do I do? What do I punch at? How do I work this? You have to give people a stepping stone. And the games that are going to come out on day one, yeah, they are pretty average, right? With the exception of one. It's not actually a game. It's called Your Shape. Now, Your Shape was Ubisoft's
I've seen the
game.
Demo of this, yes.
Now, Your Shape is amazing, and I'm meaning from a technical standpoint. Whether or not you want to get fit, that's...
I think we actually showed a clip from that on a Geek Actually Tech a while ago. Remember when they had the E3 announcements? I think showed a clip from that. That was really good.
Funnily enough, the things that amaze me the most is, number one, on screen, all you're seeing when you start up the game is just a white room with a pad on the ground. It's just a blue square. Now, when you move into camera shot, you move into the shot. Now, when you move inside that square, it immediately takes every aspect of your body, the bone distance between arm to shoulder, shoulder to hand, every distance you can possibly imagine, and immediately knows who you are, which is incredible
to
start with.
That's pretty cool.
When the girl stood in the middle of the thing, it said immediately, welcome back, and then loaded up her profile and gave her a list of all the things she'd been doing recently and so on and so forth. Outside, whether or not you're trying to get fit, that is amazing technology just there alone. Now, when you then got into the game, the entire control system is what I hope that we will eventually move into a Windows system or something like that, because when you move your hand up to one side to click on a button, all you have to do to go into the next menu is when your hand moves over that second, a drop-down thing comes up that says OK. So basically, you are literally just going flick, flick, like that.
Yeah.
Two hand movements to select something.
So the question is, does it work as well as it was demoed at E3?
It works
is it
really
is
good
it
because
as
I that? Was worried because one of the guys where I work had been to the games development side of it, and they had a play, and his thing was, it doesn't work very well. I jumped in and went, what are you talking about? This works fantastically. Like, every aspect of it, down to the point when I was doing the game that we played in Your Shape, was one where you basically were punching blocks.
Yep.
Not only was it exact, when a block would show up on my foot, you actually had to kick the opposite side across. It will not let you use the other foot. It can recognize which leg you're
using.
Now,
we had somebody in the chat room actually say, where is it now? It's moved on. It's something about impressive tech to know who you are. So it's using facial recognition at that point.
No, it's actually using body structure.
Body structure.
It's got nothing to do with it's how you look. It's your size and shape that they are taking. There's no representation on the face. The actual image is just a blurred.
What about on
outline.
The like the household features of it? Like, you know, when you walk in and you can play movies and stuff, it's recognizing the user who walks in. Is that
I would imagine. Well, because we actually got. Wait, am I allowed to talk about that?
Careful of embargoes.
Okay, I'm not going to step on any embargoes. So what I'm going to say is, we had a look at the technology behind it. So in other words, we saw images of a debug code. So what you were seeing, like basically the toolkit they're giving to people to use. And that was representing full-size body structure.
Right.
So there are points on the body it is representing. So it's all about size, bone structure, shape.
I'm really keen. Now, somebody else in the chat room, and forgive me, I've forgotten who actually said it now because it's already gone off the screen because we have this little rinky-dink tap screen. Somebody actually said, I have to upgrade my 360 first, and somebody came in and said, no, it works with all 360s. Be very clear. The Xbox Slim has what's called a Kinect port, but that's
exactly.
The power.
Yeah.
The idea is the Kinect, if you're using the new Xbox, you can actually put the Kinect power into the Xbox. You only have to use one PowerPoint then.
Exactly.
But if you
yeah.
don't have a new Xbox, it just has
just,
its own
yeah,
power.
Exactly,
you just
and
plug
it
will
in. Come with that.
Because it's all just USB.
The very exciting point to this entire thing was when they basically, at the end of the presentation that they started with, basically turned around and went, the boss of the guy that was on stage came up and went, "I'm your boss, right?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "So how many people would, how much money would it be for everyone in this room to get a free Kinect?" And I was sitting there like, "Oh yeah," because there's no way I can afford a $200 appliance.
I have looked at the Xbox. I've been looking at the Xbox Slim, and I've been sitting there going, "I know, calculations in my head. You know, trade in my current Xbox, trade in a controller. You know, upgrade to the Slim. Maybe get the Kinect prepay. You know, the pre-order bundle." But I'm going, I just can't justify it at this point. But I would love the Kinect. I mean, the Kinect is just an awesome looking little thing. It really is.
Well, look, what we'll do, dude, is when I do get mine, you know, sort of assuming that I can either get it on day one or before if I work my magic carefully enough, we will have a
we'll shoot some video and we'll shoot some video.
We'll shoot some video of us playing and sort of some sort of.
Well, we'll do some pre-recorded video. And the other thing we're going to do to test it, we forgot to mention this, is that when iOS 4.1 comes out next week, Josh and I will both grab it, and we will test Game Center. And we will see how Game Center works as well.
Absolutely.
We will try and demo all this stuff to see how it all works. Now, Kinect was number one.
Yes.
Number two.
Well, interestingly enough, I don't really think this, because it wasn't brought up in the introductions, none of the stuff where they were showing off the software or the way that the new Windows is going to work or blah, blah, blah. None of this sort of stuff actually showed this. We actually just almost tripped over this, which was sitting in a corner.
And it's not surprising because, and this is the part where at the beginning of the show we said some of this tech was kind of like, really? Because this piece of tech was demoed at CES and other conventions. I mean, we're talking years ago now. And for some reason, it has taken Microsoft this long to even consider getting it to market. And one of the things I think is going to definitely be its price tag. We have been seeing demonstrations of it and people are going, just tell us what it is already. We've been seeing demonstrations of it and we've even been seeing it in practice. Things like CNN's election coverage with their huge touch screens that they were using, which of course is Microsoft's Surface. Now, Josh brought us some photographs. Now, I got to say the thing about the Surface, that the first thing I got to say that's disappointing, because the original Surfaces that were demoed actually look like a coffee table, and the center of this coffee table looked like this black panel.
Yeah.
Now, the coffee tables have redesigned it. It looks like a gigantic iPad underneath glass.
Mm.
It doesn't look elegant now.
No.
I don't know why they've redesigned it. They need to let black bevel that entire outer rim area so that you can't see the device, you know? But that being said, you actually used the technology.
Yes, I did. Just one thing to answer people in the chat room. The price has been announced. It is $199.
This is for Kinect?
This is for Kinect.
God damn, we're getting stiffed again, aren't we? Because it's like $129 in the States.
I think it does come bundled with something though, dude.
Oh, well, that's all right. Yeah. Okay. All right. We also have another photo from Surface. This is Checker.
This was me and one of the other journalists that was there playing playing the game Checkers, obviously. And what was happening that I thought was really interesting was that when we were playing, I could move the table while he did his pieces. So that's how good the technology is. I was actually turning the board on the screen while we were playing. So I was like, that is actually quite good technology to be able to handle something like that.
That's pretty neat. I like that. And in fact, you've got a demonstration. We've got a video demonstration here, which we'll play now. And this actually shows you doing some of this rotation.
Yeah. Do we have sound?
Yes.
Just to explain to everyone.
I can turn the sound off.
No, it's fine. Just to explain, I hadn't actually planned to bring this on the show at the time. So yeah.
I like the fact he says, this is for Dave.
That was pretty much what it was for, but hey, it's here.
It's okay. So. Look, it doesn't matter. We're going to turn the sound right down anyway so you can talk about it. So people are just going to hear it vaguely in the background. But this is Surface in action.
Hey guys, just thought I'd give you a quick rundown. This is for Dave mostly. Thought we'd show you the table. So that's the kind of the table. Dave, how cool is this? As if you don't want this in your lounge room right now.
It's pretty sweet.
Take it over, man.
Let's show.
Alright, what else can we do? So you've got the horse here. You can make a small picture. You can
show them the menu interface, man.
Menu interface, so I turn it around here.
You don't mind, do you? Is this yours? No, okay.
So this is upside down cam.
Photos, then I can have a look here. What else? Object zoom, what's this going to do?
I don't remember. A lot of the stuff was just demos.
What I love is he goes, he brings up object zoom and then doesn't know what to do. He doesn't even know what
We hadn't actually really played with it. And to be fair, we shouldn't... We should probably explain that that's probably not finished code on the menu system or anything like that.
Well,
so
although, to be fair, I would hope it's finished code. This thing is how old now?
Well, admittedly, it may just be a demo code or something like that. It may not be, yeah. Anyway.
Now, according to Jay Raggy, it's 167 Australian versus 150 US. Is that just straight conversion rate, Raggy? Because you just said it's 199.
Raggy, you can say what you want, dude, but I was at the Microsoft event and
he
announced
it. What he might be talking
it.
About is the direct conversion of the dollar.
Oh, which... do you mean the American version, right, yeah. If you were going to purchase over
there?
Oh,
yes, conversion.
Yeah. Okay,
so in
cool.
other words, we're now being struck by, wait a minute, and then add 10% GST on top of that.
Exactly.
So you're adding another 10% on top of that. That's... what is that, $16-something? So that's 167, 177, 180 something. All right, we're still getting stitched an extra $20 on it.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's
all right. We've been stitched a lot worse than that in the past. Mm-hmm. So that's not so bad.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be Apple.
180, he says. So it should be 180. Okay, we're getting stitched an extra $19. But as you say, it's being bundled with a game by the sounds of it. So.
Oh, well, so is the American one, to be fair, though. So
there you go. So the question, how much... What are they predicting the retail on Surface is?
There was no one there. There wasn't anyone attached to this device. That was why in the video I asked that guy, because I was like, is this fine? Can we talk about this? Because, there was just no one there.
Every CES, they drop this demo house. Microsoft drops this demo house into all the various conventions. And every year they seem to have like these Surface tables in there. And all you can ask yourself is, are they ever going to release this technology? Mm. You know, is all I can say. We have, there's you playing the checkers again. And there's that menu. Who is this guy? He was just another journalist.
He's a journalist friend.
Okay, not a problem. And that's the extent of Surface. As I say, the biggest issue I have with Surface is I don't like what they've done to the design. It was more elegant before. It looked like
It may be a demo unit.
Do you know what it vaguely looked like before? Do you remember those hamburger shop arcade machines?
Yeah.
That used to sit on both sides of. So it was like a black bevel, and then in the middle there was the screen. Yeah. It used to kind of look like that, but more elegant. And that, you know what would even make it nicer? Put like a wood trim around the edge, so, you know, make it look like a coffee table that has the Surface in the middle of it. That would make sense.
Yeah.
So I just, the design of it is a bit rough around the edges, I think. It looks like an enormous iPad under glass. It's just kind of weird. Anyway, all right, so... Is that all, or was there more to Microsoft
that
you can talk about?
No. They showed a lot of things. They showed a bunch of games. There is, for anybody that... Sorry to shamelessly promote myself, but I don't want to double up on this.
Yeah.
There is an article. The first half of the article is up now, which is my experience at
the open
house.
And it's a good article.
House.
Go read it. I read it.
So if anybody wants to shoot over there, you can sort of see what I saw on the gaming front of things, because this is more of the tech aspect of it.
And you can find that at rawdlc.com.
They talked a lot about sort of using the Microsoft Cloud and so on and so forth, but a lot of it was just sort of stipulating for us how... the technology worked between Windows 7 machines and sort of using Live and, you know, sort of documents and so on and so forth, which is all great technology if you want to use Microsoft for everything. So, I mean, like, what I saw, I'm not going to at all sort of deface, because it is very good technology and it works very well. But, you know, like, I mean, if you use it, you're already using it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
now, Jay Raggy is thrown in our chat room. Thank God this whole lag issue is gone now, because now suddenly we're on track. It wasn't lag after all, it was me. Jay Raggy has said a commercial Microsoft Surface unit is $12,500.
Wow.
That's why they haven't sold any yet.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
But that's obviously what people like CNN are paying for those huge screens that they had. If you watch the Obama election and they had all the election details coming up on these huge touchscreens and they were literally moving the stuff around on the screen, it was very impressive to watch.
Yeah.
And all I could think as soon as I saw them was, Surface! There it is, in use. Well, Josh, you know what? We have actually reached the end. I had a couple of other stories that we were going to talk about, but we're going to have to maybe, one of them in particular, we might throw into the after show because it's something I wouldn't mind talking about. Nah, screw it. I'm going to mention this right now really quickly, just because it made me laugh, okay? We won't do all of them, but we'll do this one. Eyes on screen for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Douche.
He looks like a fish.
He does look a bit like a fish. This is Mark Zuckerberg. We brought this photo up before, and the reason why we're bringing it up today is because I have the definition of irony. You know, irony is one of those words that nobody can ever define. And I have the definition of irony here. The definition of irony is Mark Zuckerberg, the man who basically said, what's the big deal about privacy? Why does anybody want to hide anything? You should, everybody should just share everything. Mm. Has now come out in this court case against Siglia. Now, you remember Siglia. He's the guy who says he owns 84% of Facebook. He's come out in a court case, and he has now come out and basically said, my private life should be kept private during this court case.
Why? What's he doing?
I don't know. But basically, he is saying that, you know, there are some things that should be private. Hypocrite. We're going to call him hypocrite of the week and say, Mark, I think you should unlock all privacy controls in your Facebook during this court case and share everything.
I think it's only fair. You do it to us. Absolutely. So, you know.
I think it is fair. I think you should share everything.
And you know what? I think you should Facebook status every single part of the entire
Callison courtroom. Callison says, look, hiring assassins should be private.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Now, Dark Knight says, yes, I agree with that. You agree with the hiring assassins, I am assuming. Anyway, and Jay Raggy has just put in the chat room, douche, 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 douche. He is a bit of a douche. I agree. All right. We got to do a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to get out of here. We did start late, unfortunately, which is kind of why we're in a little bit of a rush. And we've got to get things back on track at some point so we can't run over. There's a couple more stories. We'll leave those till later. But let's do a little bit of housekeeping. Josh, tell us where people can find out about you to start with.
Well, obviously, guys, if you haven't already sort of been there, we have a website in which we talk about gaming and everything gaming related. It is rawdlc.com. You can check out all the articles by me, Dave Kaziki, and Nathan Lawrence. Nathan, unfortunately, is a little down in the weather right now, but still, his posts are there, and we have a bunch of other contributors throwing stuff up this week. It's going to be a huge couple of weeks for us because we have a lot of content that we have been seeing over the last week. I have been basically in and out of events all week, so we have all of that stuff coming out over the next couple of weeks. And of course, we do a live show which goes out at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. This will be using, and there is a wink, which I will probably plug better in the next show when we have a bit more time, going out to particular people in the chat room who donated. We have a new computer, which
means...
Oh, no,
we got to mention that one right now. Delta Knight. And yes, Delta Knight has said... Dark Knight with a question mark? I think I referred to him as Dark Knight before.
Yeah.
It's Delta Knight. Yep. Delta Knight pushed you over the limit.
Oh, yes. And we managed to get enough money together to get not only the computer, but a new set of gear for the computer so that we could get it all set up correctly. We are doing live tests tonight. So anyone that's in the chat room that wants to come in, we're going to kick off at about 8, probably 7 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, be very clear. It's not actually a
show. It's not a show. This is Saturday, by the way, for anybody that's watching this in a podcast. Don't bother showing up whatever night you get the podcast. We are going to be doing some live testing, throwing up some video and stuff which we haven't been doing in the show because
in fact, by the time you get limitations. The podcast, it will be over, so don't.
But yeah, anyone that wants to show up tonight just to give us a hand to do basically some sort of talking. We need someone on the other end so that when we do these things, we can actually make sure that they're working. But if you want to jump in, we have the capabilities, so we'll be testing all sorts of fun things tonight.
Great, great. Mm. And I'm going to try.
Oh, and massive shout out to him for pushing me over the limit.
So yes, so Josh is not panhandling today because they have got their new PC. So,
But I will give a quick shout out to Popshot, who donated $50 after I finished the drive.
Hey, well, there you go. Buy coffees. All right. So just as a reminder, if you want to check out the excellent DLC Live, go to rawdlc.com, check out their gaming podcast. And this week it should look a whole lot better as well, technically, because they've got their new computer.
Oh,
going.
And we are going out in beautiful, glorious 16:9.
Which is what we're working on, but I'm having trouble with it. So we've set up the whole studio for 16:9. But
I'll just tell you, Dave, those live cams look beautiful in 16:9.
So do these. Now, if I could just get this machine to accept it. We are accepting donations to buy new hardware. No, we're not gonna panhandle.
Not this week.
Not this week. We might start again next week. we've just been through enough panhandling. All right, we've just got a couple of shout outs here. First of all, our new artwork is now delivered. We are going to start preparing up some new stuff at Cafe Press, so new t-shirts, cups, and so forth with the new artwork. Mm-hmm. It is fantastic. The artwork is brilliant. And just a reminder that the cartoonist who did it for us will be on the after show today. Mm. So Josh Spencer will be here. And if you want to find out more about Josh Spencer, go to Spencer Cartoons, which is at our favorite domain name at this point, which is attackninja.blogspot.com. And you can find out more about him there. We already talked about DLC. That's done. What else do we have to talk about? Make sure you check out our other shows, Film Actually, Geek Actually, After Show. It's all good fun.
And anyone here that has iTunes, go right now. Film Actually, Geek Actually, Tech Actually, and DLC Live. Give us ratings.
And I would like to say to all those who already put reviews in there, we made it to New and Noteworthy. We made the Film Actually Show, which is the brand new feed, made it to New and Noteworthy this week, so I am very happy about that.
And we are still, we're going on, I think, 2 weeks now, where we've been in the top five panel for Raw DLC.
Yes!
So, much love to you guys as well.
And I love the abstract nature of iTunes, and if anybody can ever work out the magic mojo of iTunes, I'd love it, because Film Actually is actually in Top Tech Podcasts.
Weehoo!
No, did you backtrack? Film Actually is in Top Tech Podcast.
Oh, no, I got it. It was like when DLC was as well, and we were like, how is that even possible?
How did you end up in Tech Podcast?
I don't know.
So, we don't explain the magic mojo, but if we're going to be in top, we're going to be in top. Doesn't matter where it is. We also have a Facebook page, which I noticed that two people dropped out of. So let's go join back up to facebook.com/geek. Actually, we put up a lot of information there as well. I think that's it. I think we're done.
We're done.
I think we've already mentioned voicemail lines 02-801-13167 if you want to leave us a voicemail. And once again, just as one last reminder, because we had such lovely feedback this week, what is it? Geektech@geekactually.com if you want to send us email. Okay? And if that's all there is, Josh, thank you very much for another wonderful week.
Thank you, Dave.
No, thank you.
Enough.
And we will see you all next week.